What's up, guys? Welcome to Sports Spectrum. Today on the show, I'm excited for a conversation with David Hess. David was on this show in 2022. He had a cancer diagnosis in 2021. And David's been through a lot the last few years. He's a professional baseball pitcher, drafted by the Orioles in 2014, made his major league debut in 2018 with Baltimore. He was also with Miami and with Tampa in 2021. And then had the news that nobody wants to hear of a cancer diagnosis, a cantaloupe-sized tumor that was pressing on his heart and lungs. And David's been battling since then. We wanted to have him back on to kind of hear how he's doing and what this battle has been like and what his walk with Jesus is like as well. David Hess coming up in just a moment. It's a powerful story, and I love David. I'm so glad he agreed to come back on the show. We're going to listen to that conversation in just a moment. First, I want to remind you about our Sports Spectrum magazine that you can subscribe to right now over at sportsspectrum.com. And you can get faith-filled, family-friendly, clean sports content. Faith-filled, family-friendly, clean sports content. Find that anywhere else. I don't know if you can. And especially if you have kids who love sports and you want to introduce them to the gospel, want to get them some content to read, and know that you don't have to worry about what's being written inside of it, that the pictures are going to be safe for them to look at, the content's clean, go subscribe to the Sports Spectrum magazine. You can do that right now over at sportsspectrum.com. When you subscribe to a one-year subscription to the magazine, do us a favor, click the checkout button and put in the code podcast15, podcast15, and you will save 15% off, exclusive for podcast listeners only, to the Sports Spectrum magazine. 15% off. Subscribe to a one-year subscription. Get the Sports Spectrum magazine today over at sportsspectrum.com. David Hess, welcome back to Sports Spectrum, my friend. It's so good to see you.
Yeah, good to be here. Good to see you as always, and looking forward to chatting a little bit.
Yeah, let's start with just how are you? And maybe that's a question, hey, how are you doing? How's everything going? And we kind of take that for granted, just asking that. But after what you've been through the last couple of years, I'm guessing just the question, how are you, takes on a different meaning.
Yeah, and it's probably the hardest question to answer, honestly, because It's such a mixed bag. Things are going pretty good right now, all in all. We've gotten a little bit of good news here lately. Some good momentum with treatment and everything going on. And then, you know, staying busy and just trying to kind of sift through and process through everything of the last few years while also physically recovering and trying to get back to 100%.
So let's talk for a little bit about what took place. 2021, you found out that you had cancer. 2023, the cancer returns. Let's go back to right around the last time you were on the show, which was 2022, 2 years ago. And it was, I think, at that moment when you had been declared cancer-free at that point, and you were getting ready to return to pro baseball. So walk us through 2022, take us through 2023 and kind of what's transpired.
Yeah, that was kind of like the big tease, I guess, because I got through treatment and everything was going pretty smoothly. We, you know, scans were looking okay. I don't think that they're ever going to be perfect at that point. Well, probably for the rest of my life. But, you know, all in all, like everything was looking good. Was training to get back to baseball. I actually got in 22 back to playing with Durham, which was really exciting to kind of get back on the field and kind of get back into the swing of things. But after going through, you know, chemo, my body just couldn't bounce back the way that we needed it to. And so I ended up coming home and took a little time to rest and started training. That off season, I was working with Tread, got connected with them, and probably feeling better than I had in a really long time. Physically, I was, you know, back to throwing mid-90s, maybe even upper 90s, and kind of getting, you know, the baseball stuff clicked back into place. And that's where stuff kind of, you know, has a way of turning sideways a little bit, and that's what happened. We went in for a follow-up scan that November, right around Thanksgiving time, and found out that not only did things not progress the way that we were hoping, they were actually kind of, it was kind of returning. Basically, the chest tumor was kind of growing a little bit, and they didn't know why. So I had to go and do secondary treatment, and that started in December of 22 and went into early 23. And keeping dates straight is hard these days because there's so much moving around and everything. But we got to early 23. That treatment was much, much harder physically on me. And one of the drugs actually has neurotoxicity to it, and because of that, it basically got into my brain and caused a seizure. And so that was kind of where it really hit us, like, okay, things are not going the way at all that they should right now, because we kind of are getting this under control, but it's not shrinking. It's not going away, and then I'm having bad side effects from the chemo treatment. So that's when we did a biopsy, and got, some extra opinions and all that stuff, all the medical world talking to one another. And we found out that it had either mutated from the chemo, or there was a hidden component that we didn't know in the tumor, because it was so big. I mean, it was the size of a pineapple, so there's no telling what was going on under the surface that we couldn't get to. But when they did that second biopsy, they found out that it was angiosarcoma. So we went from something very, very treatable to angiosarcoma that has a pretty unfavorable prognosis. I mean, it was that spring of 23 was pretty rough, because I remember I started taking some online classes, and I was studying for a physics test, and we get a phone call. That basically was like, I mean, me and my wife were sitting there, and the doctor was basically like, I don't really know what to tell you, but you pretty much don't have a chance to beat this thing. And thankfully, I'm here to talk about this, which is a good sign in itself. But my oncologist followed up later that day and called me and said, well, that's not acceptable. Like, we're not taking that as an answer. And he's a believer, so it was really, to kind of have those conversations as well as the medical conversations, kind of just approaching. He said, we're going to do everything we can from the health and medicine side, and we're just going to let God do what he's going to do and trust that he's going to meet us where we need it. So ended up having double lung surgery the summer of 23. Recovered from that. Everything came back pretty much as we expected. There was some inflammation, a couple nodules that they were able to remove with good margins. So the lungs were clear at that point from what we could tell, any cancer. Went into chemo in the fall of 23, so last fall. And the goal of all that was to lead up to a surgery, basically an open heart surgery that, come to find out now, was going to be pretty gnarly. There's going to be some pretty big potential long-term effects from that that we were hoping to not have to go down that route. And the chemo acted in a way that they did not expect. The goal of that was just to get everything under control and then go in and surgically remove it and then go into radiation to clear out any remnants. And the chemo was so effective that not only did it keep it under control, it actually shrunk it down even more. And the doctors were like, this medically doesn't make any sense. And so we got to skip that surgery, got to bypass that, and went straight into radiation. And I finished that up a couple months ago at this point. I think it was the end of January. And then we had a follow-up scan, and basically, everything is not fully in the clear. We're keeping an eye on particularly the lungs because angiosarcoma is very aggressive and growing there. But they said the chest, everything in there looks really good. And so as long as everything stays under control, I think we're, in a pretty good spot with it. So it's a very long-winded answer, but but that's kind of the gist.
No, I mean, first of all, I appreciate you sharing all that, and I wanted you to share it that way because I think for people listening, they can understand what this has been like, just what you've been going through, and there's probably people who relate, whether it's themselves or whether they have a family member or somebody that's battling themselves, and it can kind of be, like a roller coaster in a lot of ways. It's up, it's down, it's highs, it's lows. I'm really curious about Jesus in your life as you go through all this, because I don't know, man. I mean, you can be the strongest Christian in the world, but when you get news that isn't the greatest, sometimes that faith is tested and challenged more than it could ever be. And sometimes you're just pretty upset with God in some ways. What's this been like for you as you've gathered through the news of what you've got and just battled through all of this?
Yeah, I mean it. I would say the simplest way to put it is it's definitely been challenged and tested. I feel like any good relationship, the only way you know how well it's holding up is when it's actually put through the fire a little bit. And you know, the kind of interesting part about that is when I first got this diagnosis and this will circle all the way back, so I got to go back a little bit to get to here. When we first found out what we were dealing with, me and my wife both kind of had this feeling that God was telling us like two things. One, or that stuck out to us. One, we kept hearing the sickness will not lead to death, which in the moment was, you know, very helpful, very useful, but we were like, yeah, because a germ cell tumor is very curable. Of course, like we're not concerned about that. But fast forward 3 years to where we are now, that carries a lot more weight when you're looking at the prognosis of what angiosarcoma is. So God has really, from the beginning, shown us that He's there with us, shown us that He's going to sustain us through it, and given us a lot of other reminders through that time that even though this is challenging, even though this is hard, and you're right, it's a mixed bag of emotions. You're gonna have days where you're, you know, feeling really bad, and just frustrated about the situation. You're gonna have times where, you know, moments like this where you get to kind of see like, oh, this is a story that I get to tell to hopefully help other people that are going through similar situations or difficult times in life. And you know, having those constant reminders from God through it has been so helpful for us. And you know, one thing lately that I feel like we've seen a lot is, or I've been hearing and seeing a lot is just that God's faithful. And again, it's, of course, we can look at that from, you know, when times are going well, like if routine is clicking on all cylinders and, you know, we have a consistent job, we're putting food on the table, we have good relationships around us, good friendships. Like those are the times when we can almost take that for granted. But you know, times like this, difficult times, you know, not just a cancer journey, but whether it's people going through mental health stuff, whether it's other physical battles people are going through, I think that those times really are important to look back and remember all the times God's been faithful and that He's going to continue to be that. Like he's shown us just so much and so many different, I could probably spend the rest of the night talking about it just because there's been so many little things that He's just met us exactly where we need to be. And sometimes that is, you know, almost a punching bag for us just to say we're frustrated. This isn't fair. Why is this happening? And other times it's just, you know, when we're starting to kind of feel okay about it, it's to gently remind you, like, yeah, remember I told you I was going to be there with you the whole time, and I am. I'm here. I'm like, we're doing this. So it's definitely been highs and lows. But through it all, I think that, like I said, it's just it's strengthened my walk with him, my relationship with him, and I wish that it didn't necessarily have to come the way it did. But, you know, God has a way of putting us exactly where we're supposed to be, doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing, even if that doesn't line up with what we think it should or what we would like for it to look like.
So your relationship with Christ has strengthened, which I love hearing. But I also think a lot of people are questioning how could a relationship with Jesus strengthen when you're going through it the way you're going through it? Wouldn't there be this potential for it to worsen, if you will? I think a lot of people go either way when the rubber meets the road on certain situations like this. And then you look in God's word and you realize, oh, wait a minute, some of these guys were being persecuted for their faith all throughout, especially after you read the Gospels and the epistles after that, and their strength. You know, Paul's writing all these letters from jail, and he's being persecuted, and his faith has never been stronger. Go into that a little bit more about strengthening your faith, because I think your faith, when I met you, way before any of this stuff had happened, you had a pretty strong faith. You and Devin both. And so to say it's even strengthened more, I'd love for you to elaborate on that.
Well, I don't know the theology behind this, maybe, so I could be partly speaking out of line, but one thing that I feel like I kind of thought through a lot, really, in the last year, I would say, it was a movie quote that really got me thinking about it, and I don't remember the movie, but it said, "The devil's greatest accomplishment is convincing us he doesn't exist."
Oh, I know the movie. I know the movie. It's oh, what is the movie? It's The Usual Suspects. And it's I think the quote is the greatest trick the devil ever,
That's it.
performed was convincing the world that he doesn't exist. Yeah, that's powerful.
And that really like struck a chord with me because it was almost just like when bad things happen or unfavorable things, it doesn't necessarily even just have to be bad. It's just things that we don't necessarily want to happen or go the way that they have. We look to God as both the villain and the hero of the story, when in reality, he's the hero, and we're forgetting the villain exists. And so when I kind of started to think about that a little bit, and again, there's a whole lead up, a whole process that got me to that point. But when I started to kind of think that, the Bible promises like that God cares about us, that he loves us. And you see that in so many ways, but it also talks that there's a spiritual war going on, that there's a battle over our souls every single day. And so with that, I consciously kind of think the same way that I think about it with, my wife, or we don't have kids, but like how somebody thinks about with kids, like sometimes you have to be disciplined. Sometimes you have to go through bad things. Sometimes, you have to work through things and talk about things. And if you don't go through those hard things and get to the point of, okay, we've met through, we've talked through this, figured it out, sorted through it, and here we are now, and I have a deeper like gratitude for you because like you took the time to enter into that with me. I have a deeper respect for you because I know you care about me enough to discipline me if that, of course no kid wants to be disciplined by their parents, but that's a respect factor and a growth that, you start to kind of learn a little bit more as you get older that that's necessary sometimes. And that, probably a little bit on a whole tangent right there. But all in all, I mean, I just think that I've seen that the same way that as, when we're recording this, Easter's coming up. And as we're approaching that, like Jesus had to die for our sins. And he did that willingly and happily. But that was God's plan all along. Like everything that's happening in our life, like God is truly working all these things together in a way that may not make sense to us. But if this, whatever door it may be, if that was open and I was to walk through that, maybe I get to a place that wouldn't be quite as good for me if I walk through this door that was halfway open, but is a little bit less enticing. And so I feel like God kind of works these things together, knowing what the end destination is to get us there in the best possible route, but that does not align with what's easiest. So I think when I talk about my relationship with him being strengthened, I'm not a naturally very trusting person, and that's probably the component that I've seen through this more than anything, because Like, I not that he had to do anything more to earn my trust, but through this, like, I've just fallen more and more into that where I'm like, you are worthy of being trusted. You've been faithful through all these situations and in ways that, like I said, may not be exactly what I want it to be in the moment. But I know in the end, it's all coming together and it's all working exactly how it's supposed to.
David Hess is with us here on Sports Spectrum. How has being a professional baseball player and what you walk through being drafted, minor leagues, get to the big leagues, up and down a little bit, great games, tough games, how has having gone through that helped you go through all of what you're going through now?
That I think sports is one of the best preparations for life in general because of exactly that. Progress is not linear. You're gonna have highs, you're gonna have lows, you're gonna have ups and downs. You're gonna have really drastic improvements in a short period of time and times where you can't catch a break and you feel like you're never gonna get anywhere. And personally, I feel like baseball has been a really good reminder of just keep putting in the work, keep being diligent in the things that you know you need to do that are going to have long-term gains, and keep stacking those, small wins. And in baseball, it was, if I'm trying to develop a slider, then I need to make sure that I'm working on getting the right grip, and then I need to get the right feel for the pitch, and then I need to do it with a hitter in the box, and then translate that to a game. And that's kind of how it's been with this, especially for me going through, anybody who knows anybody who's gone through chemo, or if somebody has gone through chemo themselves, it's pretty rough. And there's a lot of days where, you don't really feel like it's helping you, you just feel like it's hurting you. And I feel like to be able to look back and see, okay, the process that we had to go through to get to the places where in games there were improvements, or just over the course of a season there were improvements, whatever it may be, seeing how that has actually happened previously has been really helpful. And I think it just there's a stamina component. I think that you just have to kind of find a way to dig in deep sometimes. And that could be with, I would say, probably any job. There's I like, talking to my family, my in-laws, my friends, like, very rarely does anybody have a perfect job. So just to kind of see how baseball, especially on a professional level, a lot of those components translate directly into creating more perseverance and just trusting, probably a buzzword that's used a lot is trust in the process, and or I guess a buzz phrase. But I mean, it's there because it's true. Knowing where you want to get to and setting up a plan or goals to get there and then just executing that, it's, that those are, I mean, a couple things that have helped me through all this, but there's no question that just having to learn how to endure through difficult things and ups and downs has been very helpful through this.
There's a song I've been listening to lately by Zach Williams. I don't know if you've heard it. It's called Fear is a Liar. And it's made me think about fear. And knowing that you and I were talking, I feel like if I was going through what you're going through, and you're just 30 years old, right? Like if I was going through, I'd have a fear that would creep in quite a bit. That's just me. Or if it was somebody close to me, because, I love my family. And I'm sure just like you love your wife and your family loves you. What's that word fear been like for you going through this and understanding what Zach Williams is trying to say in the song? Fear is a liar because the devil's a liar and he tries to instill fear, and Christ is the hope that we rely on. And yet we all still get a little, afraid sometimes. What's that been like for you?
Yeah, it's funny that you say this exactly because I was just telling my wife yesterday I had one of those days. And I don't know where it came from. I don't know why, because through, like I said, through all this, God's kind of given that promise of the sickness will not lead to death and learning to trust in that. But with that, anything that he is working on with us is going to be attacked. And so I had, all that to say, I had one of those days yesterday where I just had a, I mean, I don't want to say irrational because there's a reason, there's reasoning behind it, but I just had kind of the anxious, deep-rooted fear throughout the day of like, man, like what if I don't make it through this? What if this doesn't happen? And so, I'm very fresh in that because I'm actually, I come in right out of that. And I think that it's very easy to fall into to I want to, I guess the trap of fear. Because all that's trying to do is snare us and keep us from moving in the direction that God wants us to go. And I also don't think that God is, I don't think that he, not upset, not anything like that. I don't think he holds it against us almost if we do have moments of that, because like we're humans. Like it's in our flesh, it's in our nature to do that. But I mean, just constantly trying to be reminded of who God is, what his promises are, and try to keep our minds in line with that. I've 100% had those days through this. I mean, we've kind of had our backs against the wall, in quite a few situations through this. I mean, there have been times truly where not only have we felt that, the fear, but it's kind of been literally put right in front of our face and force-fed to us. When you get those phone calls, when you're sitting in a hospital room and you're not feeling your best, I guess. But one thing I've just tried to remind myself and to even surrounding myself with people that are knowingly going to do that same thing for me and remind me of truths, just that God's way is better than ours, and the fear of what tomorrow holds is only going to hold us back from what we're trying to do today. Again, I think the theme through all this is it doesn't mean it's easy, it doesn't mean it's smooth sailing, but I think of when Peter walked on the water, like I think he was probably pretty aware that there was a giant storm going on around him, and the fear and nervousness and anxiety was there. But when he kept his eyes on Jesus, that's when he was able to walk out on the water. And when he took his eyes off and started kind of thinking about what was around him as being greater than what was in front of him, that's when he sank. And even in that time, though, Jesus didn't let him drown. He still went down and still pulled him out of the water. So he's compassionate, he cares, and he understands. But I think the ultimate thing with that is don't let fear be the thing that traps you from continuing to move forward where Jesus wants you to be.
And yet you have these moments of that are celebratory in some ways, right? I remember watching the video on your Instagram from January 25th, I think it was, where you're ringing that bell after 7 weeks of radiation. Those are moments you can actually still celebrate and find the good in going through this and celebrate the little moments, maybe even just the good days, right? Where you feel good, like today, this conversation. You look great. And so, like, I'm guessing you can find those moments a little bit more and celebrate them a little bit better than maybe before.
Well, for I appreciate that. I tried to put on my best for you. But no, I mean, you're exactly right. I think that those are the things that keep us going just as much as anything else. I mean, you can grit and bear and continue to push yourself forward, but at some point you do need a little bit of momentum, a little bit of traction to kind of remind yourself almost like, okay, there are moments of triumph. There are moments of coming out on top. And like you said in January, like it's funny because I'm like Christmas time, for example, like anytime, opening presents when when people are focused on me, I feel so awkward in those times. And so like the bell ringing, whenever that happens, I'm just like, I'm good. Like I want to celebrate this, but I don't know how to do this properly. So, it's obviously like times like that are, they make it worthwhile because it's I've realized too, it's just as important for, you know, like my family, my friends, as it is for me. Because we've had a lot of people that have come alongside us through this, and you know, they may not feel the full weight of everything going on the same way that we do. But I've been really fortunate to have people, I don't specifically know why, but that, you know, at least care about me and care about how I'm doing, and I'm very appreciative of that. So, you know, to get to kind of lock arms with those people and say, hey, like this wasn't just us. This was, or this wasn't just me. This was all of us together. Like I may be the one ringing this bell, but it represents so much more than that. And those are the things for me that, you know, I'm constantly reminding myself of, and trying to use those good moments as kind of like fuel and motivation to keep going. And, you know, to get to the point where, you know, when we can finally say that this thing's in remission and we came out on top, that, you know, that's ultimately like those moments of triumph, of success, of overcoming the odds, and being able to do that with people around me. It makes those moments so much bigger.
I love that. Love hearing that. That's such an encouraging word that you just had right there. What's interesting about you is you're pretty busy right now too, maybe more busy than ever with what you got your hands in. Tell everybody about school and your coaching, and you're still got your hands in baseball. Tell everybody what's going on right now with David Hess.
Yeah, I think my wife is probably well, she's been telling me, are you sure you can handle all this? Because I tend to do a little bit more probably than I should. But I kind of alluded to it earlier, but last year I, you know, through all this chaos, I started taking classes, taking them at Clemson. So go Tigers. I am a Vol at heart, but I'm adopting the Tigers as well. So I'm finishing up my biochem degree. Everything, you know, is on track for me to graduate next spring, and I'm coaching a high school baseball team and some travel teams over the summer and through the fall. So I'm staying very busy, staying connected with baseball, and you know, my ultimate goal, like what I feel like I'm here for, is to help people, and especially like being able to use my baseball background to be able to help out, you know, whether it's doing lessons, whether it's coaching kids. Like I've really enjoyed that side of things. And the plan going forward is, you know, after I graduate, I'm applying to anesthesiologist assistant school. Hopefully I get in. You know, it's pretty competitive, so maybe I can sweet talk them into letting me in. And if there's anybody out there that can help with that, just let me know. And you know, if I don't get in there, then I'm, you know, we'll kind of see how physically things are feeling. I can't fully write off baseball yet because I just, the love for it's still there, the desire for it's still there. You know, we just got to see physically if that side'll hold up. But yeah, finishing up the biochem degree. It's not for the faint of heart. I'll say that. It's a lot harder going back to school after you've been out for a little bit.
Oh, I bet. I bet that it doesn't sound fun for me, a biochem degree. I mean, I was a communications and media major and got my bachelor's, and I said, I'm not going to school anymore. And now, biochem, that sounds horrific for me, but it's obviously something that you're passionate about and interested in, which I think is great. And it gives you something to strive for, right? And something to kind of, to be honest with you, just take your mind off of everything else that you're going through.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's you know, it's been good in a lot of ways. It's been challenging, but you know, like you said, the stuff is really interesting to me. I feel like I'm full of random bits of information now that especially I'm t one of my classes is metabolism, and so kind of getting to understand how food works in our body, that's been a cool thing lately. But yeah, I mean, you know, keeping me occupied and trying to, I guess, eat up what brain cells I have left.
Use them while you can. That's what we all
Might
say,
as
right?
well. Might as
I feel
well.
like mine's moving away too. Like my brain cells are dying every day, it feels like, now that I'm 50. Well, let me ask you this, Dave, to wind down. I think what you've already said has been a great encouragement for a lot of people. But what would that encouragement, that one piece of encouragement that you might have for others who are either in the battle right now or who are alongside someone that's in the battle right now, what encouragement would you have for them?
I think the simplest thing is keep going. When I was in Durham, that was kind of we had some stuff with a teammate that happened, and I think he might have had him on here, Tyler Zombro. But that we kind of rallied around him and as a team. And ironically, that was right when the season before all this stuff came out and we figured it out. But that was something I kind of adopted and have carried with me, because I think it's all encompassing. Man, keep going through the difficult times, keep persevering and pressing into God through those difficult times. If you're supporting someone going through that stuff, keep being there for them, just whatever it looks like. Keep persevering, keep going through it, and you're going to end up exactly where you're supposed to be. I guess to kind of pair with that, like I said, like God's faithful and he's gonna be there for you. He wants to be there for you. But he also wants a relationship with you. So, yeah.
That's really well said. He is David Hess. Hey man, thank you for coming back on the show. We
Yeah.
definitely want to do it again soon, and I hope I get to see you soon as well. But either
Yes.
way, I'm just grateful to have you on the show, share a little bit of encouragement to all of us who are listening and being a part of this. I know it's encouraged me, and we're going to be praying for you, buddy. All the best.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
And many thanks to David Hess for joining us again here on Sports Spectrum. And there's not a lot of better people in this world that I've met than David Hess. He's just a dynamite human, a great guy, and he's a fighter. He's battling. I love his perspective, and I love that he's allowed himself to have those bad days too, and that's okay. But trusting in God, staying faithful to the Lord, keep going. Those are some of the notes I took. Just his faith strengthened during this battle the last few years. And what a great teacher for life, but for also this battle that baseball's been for David Hess as well. And we're, you know what? I was going to say we're going to be praying for him. I'm actually going to pray for him right now. I don't think I've ever done this on the podcast. Maybe I have, but I just feel led to just pray for him. And I hope you guys will join me in this prayer and then keep David Hess and his wife Devin in your prayers as he continues to battle this angiosarcoma. Just 30 years old. David Hess. He turns 31 in July, and he's a fighter, man. I loved what he had to say, and I'm so grateful that he returned to the podcast. So let me pray, and then we'll be finished with today's show. Dear Lord, we thank you for who you are, God. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you never leave us. We thank you that you never forsake us. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, Jesus, and that you give us access to the Father. And Lord, you tell us to come with thanksgiving, and yet you also tell us to come with the request that we have. And so our request today is to pray for David Hess. Lord, I pray for healing of his body. I pray that you continue to be with him, strengthen him, God, during this time. Give him the boldness and the courage to continue to push forward, and also to be with him on those days that are not so great either, Lord. I love how he leans on you and trusts in you, and I just pray that he continues to do that. But I pray for supernatural healing on his body from angiosarcoma, God. I just pray that you would take this away from him and that he would get into remission and he would be able to move forward and live the life that you have called him to live. And yet, the dangerous prayer that you call us to pray always, Lord, is not our will, but yours be done. And so we pray for your will to be done in David's life as he continues to battle and continues to fight. Pray for his wife, Devin, as well, that you strengthen her. And that you keep both of them close to you and that you help them walk forward together, hand in hand, trusting in your plan, God, because it's good. We love you, Lord. We thank you for David and we thank you for his story and how much it encouraged all of us today. We give you all the glory and the praise, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Thank you for tuning in. We do love you guys as well for listening today on Sports Spectrum. You can check out our website, sportspectrum.com, for all of our content. It's got great articles and devotionals and just different ways to encourage you in your walk with Jesus and just using sports as a way to do that. That's what we're doing here at Sports Spectrum. Whatever app you're listening to this podcast on, make sure you click that subscribe or follow button so that you don't miss any more conversations like today's with David Hess. And then maybe share this podcast with someone that might need to hear it, might need to be encouraged in their walk with Jesus as well. And we just thank you again for tuning in. We hope you'll join us next time for another conversation here on Sports Spectrum. Have a great rest of your day.